of dank canal water the Christmas pig was giving off. Only now they were safe did Jack fully realise that he was on his way to DP at last. And in his excitement, he gave the Christmas pig a squeeze.
"We've nearly done it,"
he said.
"I was so scared back there. Weren't you?"
"Very scared,"
said the Christmas pig.
"We should thank Hope. Without her, we'd be on the way to the loser's lair right now."
"I know,"
said Jack. And raising his voice, he said,
"Thank you very much, Hope."
"You're welcome,"
came her voice from above them.
"Are you comfortable?"
"Very,"
said Jack.
"We aren't too heavy for you, are we?"
asked the Christmas pig.
"Oh, no,"
said Hope.
"I've carried far heavier than you."
"How are you lost, Hope?"
asked Jack.
"That's a sad story, I'm afraid,"
came Hope's voice over the beating of her wings.
"My owner is in prison."
"Prison?"
gasped Jack.
"What did they do?"
"Nothing wrong,"
said Hope.
"On the contrary, she was doing a good thing, protesting against a ruler very like power. The ruler was furious, so he locked her up, pretending she'd broken the law. The judge was too scared to rule against the president, so my owner is currently in a cell with 10 others, where there isn't enough to eat and barely room to lie down."
"That's terrible,"
said Jack.
"It is,"
agreed Hope.
"At this moment, she can't see how things will ever get better for her, because they've told her she'll be in prison for 20 years. She lost me when she heard the length of her sentence. But she'll find me again, and sooner than she thinks."
"How do you know?"
asked Jack.
"She has a wonderful family and many friends outside the prison walls,"
said Hope.
"When she realizes that they're working hard to free her, she'll find me again, and I'll help her bear her situation, dreadful though it is. I may not shine as brightly as my friend Happiness, but my flame is harder to extinguish."
Jack and the Christmas pig swayed gently back and forth in the tapestry as Hope bore them onwards. Jack was starting to feel very sleepy. After a while, he thought he heard a new sound, like the breathing of some huge slumbering beast, and he smelled something vaguely familiar. By shifting his position a little, he was able to peek over the edge of the tapestry. Far below, he saw the ocean, which was as dark as the night sky above. Snow was still falling, and Jack could see Hope's wide, pale wings reflected in the waves.
"Where are we going, Hope?"
Jack asked.
"To the Island of the Beloved,"
said Hope.
"Only a few things on the mainland know it exists. The truly loved are never moved off the island, so the things in the cities never meet them. But I know the island's there because I've flown over it. You should sleep now, because we've got a long way to travel. I'll wake you when it's time for you to go on alone. You've done very well. You'll complete your mission before Christmas Day. I should think you'll be home at least an hour before midnight."
So Jack wriggled back down inside the tapestry, closed his eyes, and allowed his face to press up against the Christmas pig's.
"All those lies Ambition told us about me not being able to get DP back,"
he muttered into the Christmas pig's damp ear.
"I want to thank you too, CP. I'd never have been able to get DP back without you."
"That's all right,"
said the Christmas pig in a strangely muffled voice.
"Sleep now. You heard Hope. We've still got a long way to go."
Jack closed his eyes, squeezed the Christmas pig again, felt the familiar belly beams, and breathed in his satisfying, grubby smell. Soon, Jack was on the verge of sleep, and on his lips he tasted a salty wetness and knew he must be dreaming of the sea, far, far below. Part 7. The Island of the Beloved. Chapter 50. The Island of the Beloved. Many hours later, Jack was woken by Hope's voice calling him.
"Jack, it's time,"
she said.
"Get ready. I'm afraid you're going to get wet, but I can take you no further."
Jack could barely open his eyes because the light pouring in through either end of the tapestry was as blinding as that of Happiness. The tapestry itself had become hot, and his pajamas were warm and dry again. Even his feet were warm. He realized they'd come to a place where the sun was shining brightly.
Ready?
Called Hope.
Wriggle out with your feet first. It's not a long drop. I've flown as low as I dare.
Come on, CP,
said Jack.
You first,
said the Christmas pig. And Jack, who guessed he was worried about jumping into the sea as he couldn't swim, said,
I'll be there when you hit the water, CP. Don't worry.
Jack wriggled down the tapestry hammock. The smell of the sea was stronger than ever now, and he could feel the heat of the sun on his bare feet. Taking a deep breath, he pushed himself out of the tapestry. As Hope had promised, the drop was short, and seconds later, he found himself knee-deep in the crystal-clear sea, which was as warm as a bath. Looking around, he saw a beautiful island with swaying palm trees and soft white sand. The cloudless sky was periwinkle blue and dotted with many finding holes. And there, running down the beach towards him, ahead of a multitude of other old toys who'd rushed to see what was going on, was D.P.
D.P.!
Shouted Jack, starting to laugh and cry at the same time.
D.P., it's me!
D.P. looked exactly as he always had, grey, wonky-eared and button-eyed, and he was beaming as he ran down the beach and into the sea. Jack splashed through the water, his arms wide open, and D.P.'s button eyes were leaking tears. And then they reached each other and hugged, as tightly as ever a boy and his toy hugged. And Jack breathed in D.P.'s smell of bed and garden and of the trace of Mum's perfume from where she kissed D.P. goodnight.
D.P., I found you! I found you!
Sobbed Jack. And behind the old pig, 100 battered old toys cheered and clapped their hands, their paws and their hooves. And one little puffin turned a somersault.
Everything's all right again. Holly threw you and I was so angry. I don't know you were alone on the motorway. I couldn't stand it. And I yelled and smashed up my room.
I know, Jack. I know,
said D.P., patting Jack on his back.
But it's all right now. You found me. Come into my house.
With his worn old trotter around Jack's shoulders, D.P. guided him out of the sea onto the beach, while all the beloved things watching continued to cheer.
I live there,
said D.P., pointing to a little yellow beach house.
With somebody you know.
To Jack's amazement, he saw the old toilet roll angel peering out of the window, a wide smile on his bearded face. The beach house was light, bright and airy inside. Its windows gave a wonderful view over the sea and the palm trees.
It's so nice here, D.P.,
said Jack.
It is, isn't it?
Said D.P.
And you remember our old friend, Toilet Roll Angel?
Yes,
said Jack.
But I thought you were eating my Toby the dog.
I was,
said Toilet Roll Angel, who had a lovely sing-song voice.
He tore me to pieces. All that's left of me up there is a bit of wool, which you'll find under your second largest present, if you look.
But I don't understand,
said Jack.
You're here.
The alivened part of me, yes,
said Toilet Roll Angel.
Mum loved me so much, I'm permitted to live forever on the Island of the Beloved.
But then,
said Jack, turning to D.P., as a horrible thought struck him.
Does that mean, D.P., ambition told me a lorry ran over you?
I'm afraid that's true, Jack,
said D.P. quietly.
Grandpa put himself in danger up there, trying to get me back. But a lorry came along and ran right over me. Grandpa saw me burst. All that's left of me now in the land of the living are a few beans and a bit of dirty cloth.
But you're here,
said Jack.
I can touch you. I can feel you. I can smell you.
Yes,
said D.P., leading Jack to a striped sofa and sitting down beside him.
You made that happen by loving me so much. This island's a familiar place to me, you know. Things that are deeply loved drop straight down onto the Island of the Beloved whenever we're lost. We don't even have to pass through Mislaid. I've had friends here for years because...
D.P.'s old button eyes twinkled.
Well, you did lose me quite a lot, you know, Jack.
And does the loser never come?
Asked Jack.
Never,
said D.P.
He isn't permitted to set foot on this island. And even if he did, he couldn't hurt us. Our human's love has made us immortal.
But if you were burst by the lorry, how can I take you home? TP promised I could have you back again.
Now DP and Toilet Roll Angel exchanged very serious looks.
Well, my brother's right,
said DP.
You can take me back to the land of the living tonight, if you really want to. It's still Christmas Eve up there, the night for miracles and lost causes. However...
TP, we did it!
Cried Jack, turning to the Christmas pig. But the Christmas pig wasn't there. Chapter 51. The Truth.
CP! Christmas pig! Where's he gone?
Said Jack, looking around the room, then jumping off the sofa and hurrying to the window.
He drops into the sea right behind me, didn't he? Oh no!
Jack gasped.
He didn't drown, did he? The water's not very deep. I thought he'd be safe.
Now he came to think of it, Jack hadn't heard the splash of the Christmas pig landing in the water behind him. He'd been far too interested in the sight of DP on the beach. Staring out of the window, he spotted something in the sky. Something that looked like a gigantic bird flying away from the island, and realised it was Hope, returning to the mainland with the tapestry bundle still swinging beneath her.
The Christmas pig isn't allowed here, Jack,
said Toilet Roll Angel in his sing-song voice.
This is the place for things that are deeply loved up in the land of the living.
But why is he flying away?
Asked Jack, suddenly scared.
I've got to take him home. I promised to give him to Holly.
Jack,
said DP, placing his trotter around Jack's shoulders again.
My brother always knew he wouldn't be able to return to the land of the living with you. Now that my body's been destroyed up there, the only way I can leave the land of the lost is if a toy just like me makes up the loser's numbers. The Christmas pig decided to take my place. Everything knows that's how it works, but I never heard of a thing volunteering to do it.
Why would he do that?
Whispered Jack.
Why?
He wanted to make you happy,
said DP.
He can't have done,
said Jack in a very small voice.
I threw him out the wardrobe. I stamped on him. I tried to pull his head off.
He understood why you did those things,
said DP gently.
He was a replacement, and replacements, once alivened, understand all about their owner from the very start. All that I know about you, he knows. And he's always loved you, just as much as I do.
But why didn't he tell me?
Whispered Jack, as his eyes filled with tears again.
He pretended he could come back with me. He made me promise to give him to Holly.
He fibbed because he didn't want you to feel bad about what he was going to do,
said DP.
CP's a modest pig. He knew your heart from the beginning, and he believed he could never be to you what I am. So he decided to sacrifice himself, because your happiness was more important to him than his own.
He should have told me,
said Jack. There was a lump as hard as a peach stone in his throat.
I thought we'd all be able to go home together. I thought I'd still see him. What will he do when he gets back to the mainland?
Go to the wastes,
said DP quietly.
If I'm to go free, then the Christmas pig must replace me in the land of the lost. As he's broken the law not once, but many times, anything that helps him now will surely be eaten. He always knew he'd have to face the loser if he was to save me. I fear his time is short.
Jack turned back to the window, his eyes blurry with tears. Hope was now a tiny dot on the horizon.
He should have told me,
Jack repeated, as his tears spilled onto his cheeks.
It was unfair not telling me.
He remembered the loser's searchlights sweeping across the wastes and the dreadful story the Christmas pig had told of the loser sucking out the alivened part of a thing. It's what humans call death. Jack stumbled back to DP's little striped sofa, sat down and cried and cried.
I didn't want this,
he sobbed.
I never wanted him caught by the loser.
I know you didn't, Jack,
said DP, sitting down beside Jack and putting his trotters around him. The toilet roll angel sat on Jack's other side. He couldn't put an arm around Jack because he didn't have any arms, but he sighed deeply and sadly. Jack couldn't stop thinking about all that he and the Christmas pig had gone through together. He remembered how the Christmas pig had pretended not to like him very much and realized that CP had done it to try and stop Jack feeling guilty at this moment. He thought of how CP had saved them from Crusher by his quick thinking and how his little snout had sunk beneath the green water in the City of the Mist before Jack rescued him. Now he realized that what he'd tasted last night in the tapestry had been CP's tears. While Jack had been so excited and happy about going to the Island of the Beloved, CP had been crying because he'd known it was the last time he'd ever see Jack, and that when they reached the Island of the Beloved, they'd have to part forever. All along, Jack had thought that if only he found DP, he'd be happy again. But he didn't feel happy at all. Now, when it was too late, he realized he'd come to love CP, not instead of DP, but quite separately, for his brave and good self. In that moment, Jack truly understood what it felt like to be alivened, because he understood what he was meant to do.
DP, I've got to rescue CP.
DP smiled, which made his snout wrinkle exactly the way CP's did.
I hoped you'd decide that, Jack. I'm glad.
Will you come with me?
You know I can't, Jack,
said DP quietly, putting his old grey trotter on Jack's hand.
You can only take one of us home. But if you save CP, I'll be safe here forever, on this beautiful island. It's a wonderful place. And every day I think of you, and how grateful I am that you loved me.
Jack threw his arms around his oldest friend. He'd needed DP so much, and for such a long time, it seemed impossible that he could let him go. But then Jack thought of CP, and how much CP needed him now. So he let go of DP, and said through his tears,
How will I get back to the waste? Hope's gone.
For a moment, nobody said anything. Then Toilet Roll Angel piped up.
I think I know someone who can help. Follow me.
Chapter 52. A Famous Friend. Jack and DP followed Toilet Roll Angel out of the house facing the beach and off into the town that lay behind it. The buildings on the Island of the Beloved were all painted in ice cream colours, the streets were very clean, and the other old toys, there didn't seem to be any other kind of thing here, smiled and said hello as they passed. DP seemed to have lots of friends, and there weren't any loss adjusters at all. They passed Christmas trees hung with shells and starfish, and shops selling buckets and spades, and a little market where you could buy beach balls and sunglasses. There was even a grooming parlour where old toys could have splits in their fur sewn up and their eyes sewn back on by dolls and teddies dressed as doctors.
Here we are,
said Toilet Roll Angel at last, pointing to a giant house made of wood set in the very middle of town. The sign over the door said, The Grotto. As Jack had shrunk to the size of DP and the door was human-sized, he had no hope of being able to reach the doorbell.
Who lives here?
He asked.
You'll see,
said Toilet Roll Angel.
You two will have to knock. I haven't got arms.
Yes, I'm sorry about that,
said Jack.
I was only 4 when I made you.
So Jack and DP hammered on the base of the door. But only Jack's knocks made any noise because DP's trotters were too soft. Jack could hear footsteps on the other side of the door. Very loud footsteps, as though they were made by a giant. At last, the door creaked open. There, towering above them, stood an old man with a snowy white beard, dressed in a white vest and scarlet trousers.
Santa?
Gasped Jack.
What are you doing here?
Said
Santa, who for a moment seemed at a loss for what to say.
well, things deserve Christmas too, you know. So I keep a holiday house here. But a living boy in the land of the lost. I never would have believed it. In fact, I didn't think it was possible.
It's only possible tonight,
said Jack.
If it is still Christmas Eve up there.
Yes,
said Santa, checking his watch.
Yes, there's still about an hour to go.
Thank goodness. Then please,
said Jack,
could you help me rescue the Christmas pig so I can take him home? He's gone to the ways of the unlamented, and I've got to save him from the loser.
Ah,
said Santa. He stroked his beard for a moment or two, then sighed and said,
that's something I can't promise, I'm afraid.
Oh,
said Jack, biting his lip to stop himself crying again.
I'm not allowed to set foot on the mainland, you see,
explained Santa.
The loser and I, well, it's complicated. I give and he takes. Up there, I mostly have things my way. Here, below, he has his. I can fly you to the wastes of the unlamented in my sleigh, as long as I don't land. But then I'll have to leave you. Are you sure you wouldn't rather go home to your bed? It would be far safer. And I could make that happen easily.
No,
said Jack, shaking his head.
I've got to save the Christmas pig.
In that case,
said Santa,
you're a very brave boy. And I shall ready my sleigh. Wait there.
Santa went back inside his house and closed the door. And Jack, DP and Toilet Roll Angel waited in the sunshine for him to reappear. There was an odd feeling between them. Jack was still fighting back tears. There was so much he wanted to say to DP, yet he couldn't find the words. At last, they heard the sound of hooves and jingling, and around the corner of the wooden house came Santa, now wearing his hat, jacket, and boots, leading the 8 reindeer who were pulling his sleigh, which was piled high with presents. When they saw the sleigh, not to mention Santa with his hat and boots on, the toys passing by crowded around to watch him take off. And with so many things watching, Jack found it even harder to put into words all he wanted to say to DP.
Ready, Jack?
Asked Santa.
Yes,
said Jack.
I just want to say goodbye.
He turned to Toilet Roll Angel.
We'll miss you at the top of the tree.
Thank you, Jack,
said the angel in his sing-song voice.
I'll miss being there.
Jack turned to DP.
I wish you could come home as well,
he whispered. For the very last time, DP put his trotters round Jack's neck, and Jack breathed in his grubby smell of hiding places and of the warm cave under the blankets with a trace of Mum's perfume from when she kissed him goodnight.
Losing is part of living,
whispered DP into Jack's ear, his snout snuffling against Jack's hair.
But some of us live even though we're lost. That's what love does. I'll always be here, on the island of the beloved. And when you hug the Christmas pig, you'll be hugging me too. Because we're twins, Jack. And everything he feels, I feel too. But if you want to save him,
DP went on,
you must be quick. Of all the things on the wastes, the loser will most want to capture the Christmas pig as a warning to any replacement who tries to cheat him in the future.
Goodbye, DP,
said Jack, as he let go of his oldest friend. Jack was so small now, Santa had to lift him up onto the sleigh.
I'm glad I've seen where you live,
Jack called down to DP, wiping away his tears again.
I always knew you'd love the beach.
I do,
said DP, his button eyes as wet as Jack's.
Good luck, Jack. And give my brother my love. Thank him for what he tried to do. Tell him he's the best and bravest pig there ever was.
Chapter 53, The Sleigh Ride. As the sleigh began to move, even more toys came rushing out of their houses to watch. The reindeer broke into a gallop, and the warm wind whipped through Jack's hair. He looked back. DP and Toilet Roll Angel were growing smaller and smaller. And then, with a jingle of harness and a rush of hot air, the sleigh took off, and Jack watched the island of the beloved shrink below them. Soon, it was no more than a golden speck in the wide blue ocean. Quite apart from Santa being much bigger than he was, because Jack was still the size of a toy, he was the most famous person Jack had ever met, which made him feel quite tongue-tied. Fortunately, Santa didn't need any encouragement to talk.
After I've dropped you off, I'll have to go up there and get busy delivering presents,
he said, smiling down at Jack.
How do you get all around the world and deliver so many toys in one night?
Jack asked. He'd often wondered this.
Said
Santa, his eyes twinkling.
That's a secret, I'm afraid, but it involves magic, as I expect you've guessed.
I thought so,
said Jack, nodding.
You, of course, asked for a new bike,
said Santa.
Yes,
said Jack.
But I don't really care about the bike, as long as I get the Christmas pig back.
Well, if you do manage to rescue him, be sure to take him for a ride,
said Santa.
He's a pig who greatly enjoys bike rides, though he doesn't know it yet, being so new.
That makes sense,
said Jack, imagining pedaling fast down his street with the Christmas pig tucked down the front of his hoodie, CP's head poking out of the top.
He's quite a daring pig, isn't he?
Very daring,
agreed Santa.
To defy the loser as he has.
Where did the loser come from?
Asked Jack.
That,
said Santa, no longer smiling,
is a very good question. Nobody knows for sure. Some say he was created by people, that there is so much greed and cruelty up there that some of it oozed down here, where it began kidnapping things to help it make a body. Others say the loser's been here since the dawn of time, a kind of monster who's so envious of humans and all the clever things they create, he steals whatever he can. More than anything else, he craves things that are valued and loved, like those on the island of the beloved, but he can't touch them, which makes him very angry. Now, poke around in the presents at the back there, Jack, and grab yourself something warm to wear.
Jack felt the presents to find one that was squashy, and at last unearthed a teddy wearing a sweater that fitted him perfectly. He was glad of it, because a few minutes later, the warm air began to turn chillier. The painted sky above them turned slowly from bright blue to grey. The sun disappeared behind clouds, and soon, snow was whirling down on Jack again. They flew on, the reindeer's harness jingling, the icy air numbing Jack's face. His thoughts were full of CP, who'd surely have reached the wastes of the unlamented by now. He'd be wandering there, missing Jack, loving Jack, but believing that Jack had already returned to the land of the living, too happy with DP to care what had become of his replacement. Chapter 54. Return to the Wastes. At last, when the sky had turned from grey to black, and the snow was falling so thickly that it coated Santa's beard and Jack's eyelashes, they spotted the lights of the City of the Mist. They flew over the golden roof of Power's Palace, the canals reflecting Santa's sleigh and the flying reindeer, and soon they were soaring over the wide, dark wastes. Santa now hung a golden lantern on a hook to shed some light on the ground below. Jack looked around, hoping to see the Christmas pig. The shadow of the sleigh rippled over the snowy, stony ground, but there was no sign of anything until they glimpsed a small red spot of wandering light.
Bad habits,
Jack told Santa, pointing to the little group of roaming body parts, which still included a mouth smoking a cigarette.
They aren't very nice. I think the loser's caught a few of them,
added Jack, turning back to look at the bad habits as the sleigh flew on.
There were more when we met them before.
They continued to skim as low over the wastes as Santa dared, scanning the barren landscape for CP, but Jack couldn't see him anywhere. Now an awful fear gripped his heart. Was he too late? Had CP been caught already?
Compass!
Cried Jack suddenly, as the swinging light of the lantern illuminated her round brass body, which was bowling along as fast as ever.
Santa, let me ask Compass if she's seen CP.
Santa turned the sleigh around, and they doubled back to where Compass stood, staring at the sight of them.
Santa!
She cried.
That's me,
said Santa, smiling.
Glad to see you're still with us, Compass.
Oh, you know how much I enjoy the chase,
she said, spinning to watch them as they circled her.
What are you two doing here?
I've come to find the Christmas pig,
called Jack.
Have you seen him?
At that, Compass's pointer swung suddenly south, giving her a very sad look.
Well, yes, Pajama Boy, I have,
she said.
Where is he?
Called Jack, who was starting to get dizzy because the sleigh was flying in such tight circles.
I'm afraid,
said Compass.
He was caught half an hour ago. He didn't even run. I shouted at him to stop, but he just stood there, waiting for the loser to snatch him up.
Oh, no,
Jack whispered. It was all his fault. He ought to have got there sooner, but he'd wasted time deciding what to do, and now...
So he's in the loser's lair,
called Santa.
He's there if he's anywhere,
said Compass.
But he might already have been eaten. The loser was delighted to get his hands on him. Never seen him so happy.
Compass, do you know where the loser's lair is?
Called Jack.
Course I do,
said Compass.
Will you take me there?
You want to go to the loser's lair?
Said Compass in astonishment.
Yes,
said Jack, preparing to jump.
CP's my pig, and if he's still alive and I'm taking him home.
Jack,
said Santa as Jack got ready to jump.
If I can, I'll give you more help later. There might be something I can do for you up there. In the meantime, be very careful. The loser would like nothing better than to catch a living boy.
I'll be careful,
promised Jack.
Goodbye, Santa. Thank you very much.
With that, Jack eased himself off the sleigh's seat and jumped down onto the wastes. He fell into a clump of thistles he hadn't spotted in the darkness, and although it was an uncomfortable prickly landing, it was better than landing on the sharp flints and stones.
Goodbye, Jack. Good luck,
called Santa, and he flew away on his sleigh, the golden lantern growing smaller and smaller until it disappeared. Compass was staring at Jack in amazement.
What did Santa just call you?
She rolled a little closer.
A living boy?
Yes,
said Jack.
I'm human. I came down here to find DP, but he's happy on the island of the Beloved. Now I want to save the Christmas pig. Please take me to the loser's lair, if you know the way.
Compass stared at Jack for a moment longer. Then her voice rang out across the wastes.
They'll talk of this for centuries. The living boy who walked into the loser's lair to find his pig and... Well, we don't know how the story ends, do we?
Not yet,
said Jack.
But please, if you know the way, show me.
Compass set off and Jack ran after her across the frozen ground, and the snow fell thick and fast in their faces. Part 8. The Loser's Lair. Chapter 55. The Crater.
It's not too far. Don't worry,
said Compass, her brass case clattering over the stones. Even so, Jack soon had a stitch again, and his sore feet were frozen, but he didn't care at all. All he could think about was CP, who'd stood and let the loser scoop him up because he thought Jack didn't love him. They'd only run a short way when they saw a fiery red glow on the horizon, which grew wider and brighter as they approached.
It's right ahead,
said Compass.
See that fire? The loser lives in an hole in the middle of a crater, and he burns a fire all year round. After he's sucked out the alivened part of a thing and taken what he wants of their bodies, he burns up the rest in the flames.
Jack felt a shiver of fear but didn't slow down. He had to save CP if he could. There was no turning back. The closer to the loser's lair they approached, the bigger and brighter the fiery glow became, and at last, the ground began to slope downwards. Jack could see a wide hole in the middle of the crater, like a volcano, from which acrid black smoke was issuing. He looked up at the sky above the loser's lair. There were no finding holes here at all.
Stop, Compass,
Jack panted, coming to a halt.
I'll go on alone now.
Nonsense,
said Compass excitedly.
I've never been in the loser's lair before. What a thrill! What an adventure! You know what my motto is?
Was it something about a radish?
Asked Jack, who couldn't quite remember.
That was a moral,
said Compass.
I meant socks in the north and umbrellas for best, but when it's all going south, take a friend. You can't meet the loser alone.
I can, Compass,
Jack told her.
I must. You're too important to lose. Things need a hero out here on the wastes, and you're the only one clever and brave enough to survive.
What? What a nice thing to say,
said Compass.
Things never pay me compliments. They're usually running away so fast, they forget.
Well, I won't forget you, whatever happens,
said Jack.
Goodbye, Compass, and thank you for everything.
And he ran down the slope towards the hole in the ground, turning back just once to wave while he knew Compass could still see him. Jack descended the steep slope, sliding and stumbling on loose rocks and stones. He went as fast as he dared, half blinded by the fire and smoke coming from the hole in the middle of the crater. And soon his pajamas had dried out completely in the heat, and he began to cough from the thick black smoke, which didn't smell like a wood bonfire, but reeked of burning plastic, fabric and foam. And then, just when Jack was wondering how much further he'd have to go, his feet now burning on the hot rubble, he slid on loose pebbles and, unable to stop, found himself tumbling into the hole. Down he fell through the smoke, into an underground lair, and for a few seconds, he was sure he was going to land in the flames and that he'd never see Mum or CP again. Chapter 56, The Loser's Lair. By great good fortune, Jack missed the fire and fell instead onto a hot, springy, soft mound right beside it. It was a few moments before Jack realised he was lying on stuffing and shreds of fabric that the loser had discarded from the things he'd eaten. It was smoking and smouldering because it lay so close to the flames. Jack crawled as fast as he could towards a distant stone wall, slipping and sliding over the heaps of fluff and burned material until he'd reached the side of the underground hole. It was then that he heard the moans and screams, which had been drowned out by the crackling of the enormous fire while he'd lain beside it. Jack screwed up his eyes and looked around. The loser's lair was a gigantic underground cavern in the middle of which burned the huge fire. Cages hung all over the walls, all of them crammed with the things the loser hadn't yet eaten, and it was the cries of some of these imprisoned things he could hear, although not all of them were screaming. Many were simply huddled at the bottom of their cages, silent and sad, knowing that their end had almost come. They were cheap, ugly things, most of them, made and lost in their millions, unwanted, unloved, existing only to fill space for a while until they were sucked down below into the land of the lost. And then there was the loser. He was so gigantic that for a moment or two, Jack, who was focused on the cages, hadn't realized he was there, but had taken his enormous body for another pile of junk. The loser was crouching on the opposite side of the fire to Jack, his horrible head scraping the top of his lair, as it had scraped the wooden sky on the wastes. His searchlight eyes weren't turned on. He didn't need them here because the fire burned so brightly, casting flickering shadows onto the walls. The loser's blank glass eyes reflected the dancing flames, which also illuminated the glittering shell of his body. Evidently, the loser kept only the hardest parts of dead things, steel, plastic, glass, and stone, which gave him the look of a dreadful robot. At this moment, he was feasting on a handful of old forks, and bits of them flew from his mouth as he crunched them up with his glittering fangs, which appeared to be as hard as diamonds. The loser hadn't noticed Jack fall into his lair, because Jack had fallen on the opposite side of the fire and been hidden by the thick black smoke. Now Jack looked frantically around at all the cages, trying to spot the Christmas pig, and hoping against hope that he hadn't already been torn to shreds, his belly beans and stuffing lost in the mounds below. But Jack couldn't see a single cuddly toy, only small plastic playthings that came free with meals and old magazines, and chargers for gadgets that no longer worked, objects lost without regret and never missed. Jack's fear that he was too late mounted with every second. And then, suddenly Jack spotted him. CP was standing inside one of the very highest cages on the wall, gripping the bars with his little trotters and watching the loser eat the old forks. With him was Broken Angel, who was slumped in a corner of the cage, her one remaining hand over her shattered face. CP was shabby now, after all his adventures with Jack, no longer plush and pink, but dirty, greenish and with lopsided ears.
"I'm coming, CP,"
whispered Jack, struggling to his feet. Then the loser chomped down the last bits of twisted metal and spoke, his voice echoing around the cavern.
"Now are you afraid, pig?"
His voice was the most terrible Jack had ever heard. It was like the scream of brakes, high and pained, and it made Jack think that the loser must be suffering almost as much as the things waiting for their death. CP answered in his dear, familiar voice.
"No, I told you. I have nothing left to lose, which makes a thing brave. Eat me whenever you like. It doesn't matter to me anymore."
"You think losing the boy is worse than being torn apart?"
said the loser in his screeching voice.
"Worse than returning to nothingness? To feeling nothing? To being nothing?"
"Feeling nothing would be better than what I feel now,"
said the pig.
"Don't say that,"
whispered Jack, even though he knew the Christmas pig couldn't hear him. The loser struggled onto the metal points that served him for feet.
"You will fear me before you die,"
he promised. He tore the lock off a crowded cage right next to the one holding the Christmas pig and Broken Angel, and scooped out 50 twisty plastic straws in gaudy colours, a cheap flimsy kite, and an ugly glass vase with knobs and twirls all over it. Jack heard their screams of protest as the loser sank back into a crouch, opened his wide metal mouth, and dropped the things one by one into it. In desperation, Jack looked around for a way to reach the Christmas pig. The walls were rough and craggy, and he thought he might be able to find enough toe holds to climb them if he tried. So he reached up, found cracks where he could grip, then began to pull himself upwards. It was slow going. The rock burned beneath his fingers and toes, and behind him he could hear the crackle of the fire and the grinding of the loser's jaws as he ate his way through plastic and glass. At last, Jack reached the same level as the topmost cages. It was harder to grip the hot rock up here, and he was worried the poor things inside the cages might notice him and shout out in surprise, alerting the loser to the fact that Jack was there. However, most were shielding their eyes, trying not to watch the loser, who was now picking sharp fragments of glass out of his teeth and attaching them to his shell, which he did by licking them with his horrible black rubber tongue, which seemed to be coated in some kind of glue, then sticking them down on top of the cogs and lids already there. Jack began to walk across the tops of the cages, jumping from one to the next. The bars were hot beneath his soles, but a new problem struck him as he approached the Christmas pig, whose little black eyes were still fixed unblinkingly on the loser. All the cages had heavy padlocks dangling from them, and the one hanging from CP's was the biggest of all. At last, Jack managed to jump onto the cage holding the Christmas pig and Broken Angel.
CP!
He whispered.
CP, it's me. Look up here.
CP looked up, and for a moment or two, he stood frozen, his little black eyes wide with astonishment. And Broken Angel uncovered her poor half-eaten face and stared up at Jack too.
Jack!
Gasped the Christmas pig.
What? What are you?
I've come to rescue you. Both of you,
said Jack, crawling across the cage roof to grasp hold of the giant padlock.
You two belong to me, and I'm taking you home.
But what about DP?
We've said goodbye properly now,
said Jack, tugging at the padlock which remained shut.
He wants me to do this. I'm going to get you out.
But he couldn't open the padlock.
Jack, I don't understand. You wanted DP so much.
I thought I needed him,
said Jack.
But you need me more.
You've got to get out of here. There's nothing in the whole of the Land of the Lost that the loser would like better than to eat a living boy. You'd be the greatest prize he ever caught.
I'm not leaving without you,
said Jack, still trying to break the padlock, but it wouldn't shift.
It's too late,
said the Christmas pig, his tears now trickling down his face.
Jack, there are only a few minutes until Christmas Day. You've got to get yourself under a finding hole. There's no hope for us, but you can still escape.
But before Jack could reply, the loser let out the loudest, most terrifying screech Jack had ever heard. His eyes blazed white again as he rose up on his pointed metal feet. Jack, the Christmas pig, and Broken Angel were caught, transfixed in their powerful beams. The loser had spotted the living boy. Chapter 57, The Last Hope.
What is this I spy?
Said the loser in his awful screeching voice.
A bit of surplus, very different to any I've caught before.
Jack thrust his hand down between the bars of the cage and seized one of the Christmas pig's trotters. The Broken Angel caught hold of CP's other trotter, and the threesome held tightly to each other as the loser picked his way slowly across the cavern towards them, scattering bits of dead things with his pointed steel feet. All around the walls, the things in the cages moaned and gasped because they'd realized what was happening and knew that Jack, the Christmas pig, and Broken Angel would be going into the loser's mouth next.
I knew you'd come! Tell me, child,
said the loser.
What makes humans love things so much?
The loser's breath swept over Jack like a hot, foul wind. It smelled as though every rubbish tip in the world was lying in his stomach, of dust, decay, and rotting cloth, of battery acid and burning rubber, of the end of all man-made things.
We don't love all things,
said Jack in a shaking voice.
Only very special ones.
And what?
Said the loser, moving closer, his gigantic head bigger than Jack's entire body, his searchlight eyes so bright that Jack could barely look at him.
Makes a filthy, cheap pig worth loving!
He's the best and bravest pig in the world, that's what,
said Jack fiercely.
You love me,
whispered the Christmas pig. Jack gripped his trotter more tightly than ever as he said,
Yes, I do.
But DP...
You can love more than one thing,
said Jack. Turning back to the loser, he said,
Let CP go, and Broken Angel too. They don't deserve eating. They've never hurt anyone. They've never done anything wrong. Let them come home with me.
The loser threw back his head, opened his horrid mouth wide to reveal the huge rubber tongue lying like a thick black eel between glittering fangs and laughed. Then he turned his bright, blinding eyes back on Jack and screamed,
Has no nobody explain to you what I am, boy? I take, and take, and take again! Christmas Eve is almost over!
The loser was moving closer, his awful rough diamond teeth glinting in the red light of the fire, his breath a disgusting blast.
And on the last stroke of midnight, you'll be trapped here forever, with no hope of return. Then I shall swallow you, and perhaps then I'll love things as much as people do.
All around the walls, the cheap and unloved things wailed and shivered and sobbed in their cages.
Not the boy!
You're pleading for him!
Jeered the loser, his searchlight eyes sweeping the cages where the poor cheap things were cowering.
Humans made you, cast you aside and forgot you! It's all their fault you were sent to the wastes! You're cheap, and you're ugly, and your owners thought you worthless! You should be glad to watch a human die before I chew you to pieces!
But Jack had just had an idea. He knew it might be too late, but it was the only thing he could think of that might work.
Listen!
He shouted to all the things in their cages, while he still clung to the Christmas pig's trotter.
I'm human and I care about you. You aren't garbage to me, and I know how to get you out of here.
And with these words, the giant padlock on the Christmas pig's cage shattered. The things all around the cabin walls gasped in shock, and then, one by one, all around the cavern, more padlocks began to burst apart. Then more, then even more. The loser shrieked in rage and shock, but Jack knew what had happened. He'd given the things hope, which no lock can contain. Now, a few of the bravest began clambering out of their cages, helping each other as they went.
There's a way out for all of you, I promise!
Shouted Jack to all the shivering things still too scared to leave their prisons.
You've just got to believe!
Get back!
Shrieked the loser, enraged to see the things escaping.
He's lying! Get back! Back! I shall eat all those who climb out first!
I'm not lying!
Jack shouted.
If everyone hopes and believes!
And then, something extraordinary happened. Something simply magnificent. It could only have happened on the night for miracles and lost causes. And only then, because Jack had refused to give up hope. Because nothing can be lost for good until all hope has gone. Up in the dark wooden sky above the loser's lair, where there'd been no finding holes at all, the sky cracked. The monstrous loser looked up at the sound of the sky breaking open and screamed in fury. A hole had appeared there, but it wasn't dark like an ordinary finding hole. Sparkling light was whooshing around inside it, as though it contained moving magic. And Jack knew what the magic was, because once, long ago, when he was only 3 years old, he'd imagined DP whooshing around inside a hole just like that, on a magical bicycle.
This is your way back to the land of the living,
he cried.
Keep hoping!
The hole grew larger and larger. It was wide and golden. And then, the real magic happened. Instead of dropping a single shaft of golden light and saving one thing, the sparkling, circling light descended in a spiral and whooshed up inside it hundreds and hundreds of astonished, delighted things. Out of their dirty cages they rose. The tin and the cardboard, the wooden, the paper and the plastic, each of them laughing as they were drawn into the sparkling, whirling cyclone. The furious, bewildered loser didn't understand what was happening, and though he spun around trying to catch them, they slid through his long steel fingers and up towards the new hole their hope had made in the ceiling.
They're going to be recycled!
Jack shouted as the monstrous creature tried to catch the things rising so fast beyond his grip.
They'll be made new, up there, and live again!
No!
Shrieked the loser, wild with rage.
People can't have them! They're mine! They're mine! They belong to me!
From somewhere up above the glittering hole, where the saved things were disappearing, there came the chimes of a distant clock. It was midnight in the land of the living. Christmas Eve was finally ending.
If I can't have them,
screamed the enraged loser,
I'll have you!
The loser reached out his claw-like hand, with the fingers as long as steel girders, and Jack heard the chimes and knew that hope wouldn't be enough now. The only comfort left in the world was the feel of the pig's trotter in his hand, and he closed his eyes as the loser's searchlight eyes grew nearer and brighter. And then he felt himself falling, falling, falling. Part 9. Home. Chapter 58. Found. The smell of the loser's breath had vanished. Still, Jack fell, eyes tight shut, clutching the Christmas pig's trotter, and he was scraped by sharp branches that smelled of pine, and down, down, down they fell, until Jack felt carpet beneath him.
Jack?
A distant voice was calling his name, a voice he knew.
Jack?
Hope?
He murmured. A door opened.
Jack?
Said the voice, and then...
Jack, what are you doing under the tree? We've been looking for you everywhere.
Jack opened his eyes. He was curled up on the floor beneath the Christmas tree at home, in the middle of all the presents, the tree lights gleaming in the darkness above him. Pine needles were scattered all around him, and he'd returned to his normal size. The teddy bear-sized sweater had burst off him and now lay beside him in a tiny knitted ball. One hand was still holding the trotter of the Christmas pig, and there, her undamaged hand lying stretched out on the carpet, touching the Christmas pig's other trotter, was Broken Angel.
Brendan, I found him!
Called Mum, kneeling to look at Jack through the branches.
What are you doing under there, Jack? I went into your bedroom to give you a kiss and you'd gone. I was worried sick.
She reached out a hand and Jack crawled out from under the tree, with CP in one hand and the Broken Angel in the other. And Mum pulled him into a hug and Jack hugged her back. It felt wonderful to be home again.
I'm so sorry about DP,
Mum whispered.
Grandpa told me what happened. When I didn't find you in bed, I thought you might have sneaked out to try and find him, and I...
I did go to look for DP,
said Jack.
And I was nearly eaten by the loser. And I escaped. I don't know how.
But then Jack spotted the shiny new bike with a big red ribbon on it, which was leaning up against the wall beside the tree, its handlebars touching the branches, and he pulled free of Mum to point at it.
That's how. Santa said he might be able to help me later. He knocked the angel loose.
What?
Said Mum, confused. Jack showed Mum the chewed-up angel with her bent wing.
She was caught in the branches at the back of the tree. See? But when Santa put my new bike there, he wobbled the tree on purpose and knocked her free. So she wasn't lost anymore, and she pulled me and the Christmas pig with her, back into the land of the living.
Jack, what are you talking about?
Said Mum, half laughing, half worried. Brendan now hurried into the room and clapped his hand over his heart.
Oh, thank goodness for that,
he said, looking at Jack.
We thought you were lost, buddy.
I was,
said Jack, as Holly entered the room behind Brendan. Her eyes were still puffy because she'd been crying so much, but she gave a huge gasp of relief when she saw Jack alive and well beside the Christmas tree.
I was in the land of the lost,
Jack told them all.
Me and CP went there together. I found DP, and he's happy. I always knew we liked the beach, and I met so many different things. And there are all these different cities, and the loser nearly got me. But then Broken Angel saved us. We've got to keep her,
said Jack, thrusting the mangled angel under Mum's nose.
Well,
said Mum with a little laugh as she took the angel from him.
She does look as though she belongs to this family, all right. I think she'd have been a bit grand for us before Toby the dog got her.
You can bandage her up, can't you?
Said Jack.
like you did to DP when he had his new eyes sewn on?
Of course, said Mum. Then she sniffed and said, why do you smell of smoke? And why are your pyjamas so muddy?
Oh, the smell's the loser's fire, and the mud from where Blue Bunny hugged me,
said Jack.
It's hard to keep clean the land of the lost.
Well, I don't know about all that, but that pig definitely needs a wash.
Not yet,
said Jack, hugging the Christmas pig to his chest.
He's quite scared of water at the moment because he can't swim. That's why he's green. He nearly drowned in the canal. I need to explain to him about the washing machine before you put him in it, or he'll be really frightened. Anyway, I want to take him on a ride on my new bike before that. He likes bike rides. Santa told me.
That was quite some dream you've had, said Mum. And you're not supposed to have seen that bike yet. It isn't Christmas Day.
Actually,
said Brendan, checking his watch.
It is. It's 1 minute past midnight.
I'm hungry,
said Jack.
I've been away 3 whole nights, and I couldn't eat the food in the land of the lost, because that would have proved I was a living boy. You don't believe me.
Jack looked from Mum's face to Brendan's. They were both smiling in that annoying way grown-ups have when they think they know better than you do what happened, even though you were there and saw it all. Why don't I make some hot chocolate? Said Mum, still smiling. She carried Broken Angel out of the room. Brendan turned on the electric fire and went to help her in the kitchen, leaving Holly and Jack alone.
I believe you're in the land of the lost,
said Holly in a hoarse voice.
I do, Jack. And I'm glad you saw DP and that he's happy. And I'm sorry. So, so sorry. I threw him out of the car window.
Well, it's all right,
said Jack.
He's living in a nice little house on the beach with Twilight Roll Angel now. And I've got CP. DP says he's the best and bravest pig there ever was. And he's right.
What else happened while you're in the land of the lost?
Holly asked. And she and Jack sat down by the fire. And Jack told Holly all about Disposable and Sheriff Specs, about Lunchbox and Inhaler, about Bother It's Gone, Addy and Poem, about their long journey across the wastes of the unlamented, Compass, Blue Bunny, the strange things he'd met in the City of the Mist, and their escape from the Loser's Lair.
I know I've been horrible to you, Jack,
said Holly, when at last he paused for breath.
And I promise I won't bully you. Not ever again.
I believe you,
said Jack, remembering Bully Boss, who he hadn't mentioned. CP was sitting on Jack's knee so he could be warmed by the fire too.
But I think you should stop doing gymnastics. I know you're not enjoying it anymore, and you'd rather do music.
How did you know that?
Said Holly, amazed.
I haven't told anyone.
You find things out in the land of the lost,
said Jack wisely.
I always thought I wanted to go to the Olympics,
said Holly, looking into the fire.
But I really don't anymore. I'd rather see my friends at weekends instead of practicing all the time.
There's nothing wrong with losing an ambition,
said Jack.
I met a lost ambition down there, you know. She was horrible, but I'm sure you can get a nice new one.
I'd like to learn the guitar,
said Holly.
Well, that's lucky,
said Brendan, who'd come back into the room holding 2 big mugs of hot chocolate.
Judy and I have just agreed you can open 1 present each before you go back to bed. Holly, I think you should unwrap that big one in the gold paper.
Jack untied the red ribbon on his new bike and showed the Christmas pig all the features that made it such a particularly good one, while Holly tore paper off her biggest present to reveal a shiny black guitar. Then, while Holly was learning her first chord, Brendan helped Jack adjust the seat on his bike, and Mum reappeared holding Broken Angel. She'd wound a little strip of gauze around the angel's face to hide the bit that was missing, unbent her wing, and bandaged up her handless arm. Then, Brendan, who was tallest, took the angel and placed her back at the top of the tree, where she smiled down upon them all, as proudly as if she'd been meant to be bandaged up all along.
I like her, said Mum. She looks kind, doesn't she? All right, you two. It's time for bed if you finish that chocolate. We'll be up in a few hours anyway.
So Jack and Holly climbed the stairs and said a friendly goodnight to each other on the landing. Then Holly disappeared into the spare room, and Mum came into Jack's room to kiss him goodnight. None of the things there were talking or moving anymore,
and none of them had eyes or arms, except those that had always had them. Jack snuggled up beneath his duvet, and Mum kissed him and then the Christmas pig. She turned out the light and closed the door. Jack lay cuddled up in bed, breathing in CP's smell, which was of canal water and smoke, with a tiny trace of Mum's perfume. He'd have to go in the washing machine soon, but Jack knew he'd eventually come to smell of home and of the warm cave under Jack's blankets.
Good night, CP,
whispered Jack.
Merry Christmas.
Exhausted from his adventures, Jack fell asleep almost at once. It was no longer Christmas Eve, the night for miracles and lost causes, yet two little trotters hugged the sleeping boy in the darkness.
Good night, Jack,
whispered the little pig, whose tears of happiness were trickling down onto the pillow.
Merry Christmas to you too.
You've been listening to an Audible Studios production of The Christmas Pig, written by J.K. Rowling, narrated by Amaka Okafor, with Rocco Padden as Jack and Geron Howell as the Christmas Pig. Also featuring Tom Alexander as Derpig, Rachel Atkins as Compass, Annette Badland as Memory, Karen Bartke as Ambition, Nicholas Bolton as Power, Saffron Kuma as Hope, Claire Corbett as Mum, Sandra Geyer as Poem, Gerard McDermott as Santa, Yasmin Mwanza as Lunchbox, Jemima Penny as Holly, Summer Rose as the Little Girl, Maya Soroya as Happiness, Kerry Shale as Specs, Andrew James Spooner as The Loser, Dan Starkey as The Blue Bunny, and Ben Whitehead as The Mayor. Directed by David Beck. The production was engineered by James Gregory at Molinaire, London. Vocal edit and sound design by Molinaire Film and TV Limited. Original music by Anne Dudley. Casting by Jada Uzen and David Beck for Wireless Theatre. For Audible Studios, the production manager was Alice Hewer. The casting manager was Marielle Runica-Temple. The director of studios was Chris Jones. The commissioning editor was Aurelie de Troyer. Text copyright J.K. Rowling 2021. Sound recording copyright J.K. Rowling 2021.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.